Michael will be in the Matheza. Okay, welcome everyone to the last session of today. I see you're all the hardcore people, so I love all of you. Now, you are one of the lucky ones because we are giving away after this, during the drinks, some interesting stuff. So we know you want some stuff like interesting speaker, fantastic headset, Plantronics, laser pen, and have some other swag as well. So, but essentially I'm here to deliver the last session. It's kind of like a very, very technical one, like level 400. So you're all tired and your head is going to explode. But I'll try to explain them in an easy way so that it makes sense to you, right? So it's about the inner workings of Sky for Business networking. So it's not about how do we configure networks, but how does the media actually flow over the network? And how does it work? Because I get lots of questions from people like, can you explain this to me? Like in one email, they say, can you explain to me how does the media flow in Sky for Business? Like, how do I explain this in one sentence? Because it's impossible. And you will see that it always depends. It always depends. It's my favorite answer as a consultant, of course, because I can always say it depends. And I'm right, because I don't know how your network is configured. Not even your home router can potentially have some issues or make things not happen the way you want it to. But I'll try to guide you through it. So if you don't know my name, I'm Johan Dellimon. I liked actually Tommy's picture, so I made some of my own. I hope you like it better. Thank you. So this session is actually a follow-up of my session I did at Ignite last year, which was about SIP session initiation protocol and SDP. So it was like the technical background of what you need to know for this session. So I cannot explain everything because that was like 1 hour and 15 minutes. But if you want to know more information, the link is still up. You can look at this session as well. But I'll just highlight whatever is important for you. So maybe I can take my Surface. So probably don't need to power. So the agenda, I'll briefly look at SIP, but just briefly. I say like configuration and settings, because you need to know a little bit about SIP, how does it work, in order to get the information from the configuration. What do I mean by that? Like a client logs in, but it receives information from the server, which is the configuration. Like for example, port ranges. You will see it in there. SDP is essentially describing how the media is going to be set up. So you need to have a little bit of knowledge because I can just not skip this. But it will be briefly, of course. Then I will look at internal calls. So if you don't have an Edge server deployed, consider internal calls. If you have an Edge server deployed, it's not always an external, but things change a lot. There's a lot of difference. Nobody uses Edge?
No, you just asked me whether it still works in
the environment. So session initiation protocol. Now, this is, if you look at my session that's been recorded, you will see this graphic coming by a lot. So the signaling, which is happening through the server, is from endpoint to endpoint. And then the media, in this case, is most likely going to flow directly between the endpoint. I say most likely because it depends, of course, right? So, but how do you actually look at these SIP logs? And again, Tommy referred to Snooper. So who of you knows this Snooper tool? So that's good. That's good. So don't have to explain this. So he says he used to love Snooper. I say I still love Snooper because it's an awesome tool. It's really great. You can see actually everything. And you can also see stuff from Office 365, which is kind of surprising, but from the client side or the server side, you can actually see most of the signaling going back and forth. So whatever is happening on Office 365, you can most likely see on the client. Well, unless it's a gateway connected to a mediation server, which sends kind of like strange signaling, but most of the stuff you can actually see back to the client as well. So that's kind of important because now we are moving to a cloud-based world, and then you can still look at some stuff. And Microsoft cannot hide something. Like I explained some of the Microsoft product teams, like I can see that your port ranges are overlapping and I will show you. And it was all like, no, that cannot happen. So I'll prove it to you. And it's in the logs, right? So you can see it. So you can even use it for Office 365. Now, so Snooper is the beginning because we have to look at Snooper. So for you, for those guys who didn't see this before, this tool, I will briefly show it. So this is what it looks like. So there's so many messages in here. So these are the traces and these are the messages. Now, any of these messages are SIP messages. For example, let me zoom in. Of course, I have to start my Zoom application. So all of these things, all of these details you see in here, those are SIP messages. You can see all of those in the event log, in the Snooper logs. Now, there are quite a lot of messages when you log into the system, because this example, so I'm using my account and connecting to Office 365. So for example, you can see here, I am sending a register message to the server. So and a register message means I'm going to register to the cloud. I'm going to try to log in to my account. Then you see some subsequent messages. And of course, these are all important. It doesn't mean because there are some red error messages. Well, it seems like error messages. They're not really error messages. They're kind of like in the protocol for doing authentication. It's like a three-way handshake. But you can see literally everything in these logs. So we will come back to these logs. Now the configuration settings, it's kind of interesting. Because these configuration settings, there are some priority, of course. You can still tag the registry if you want. But if you do this, it will probably not work because they are going to be overridden by the in-band provisioning. So that means whatever you set in the registry and a Skype administrator in Office 365 has configured something for you, it will be configured in your client. So it's kind of important to know. And then one of those SIP messages essentially is a subscribe to some sort of a very strange content type. It probably doesn't say you much at this stage, right? But what would it be? Like it says, Microsoft Roaming Provisioning Version 2. So essentially what my client is doing is signaling to the server, says, hi, I'm logged in, but I need to have my settings. Can you send them to me? So, and you can see all of these things like public providers, user settings, server configuration, group chat, which is not in Office 365, right? Meeting configuration, a lot of stuff, right? We can look into this. So the reply from the server is going to be this. I specifically highlight this message because there's some interesting stuff in here. So if you can see that the UC mean media port, well, it's not that one I'm interested in. I'm interested in the UC mean audio port. So you see it's 50,000 until 50,019. So just by looking at this, I know the service from Microsoft is configured to use these ports. So if you do group policies and set QoS on different ports, guess what? It won't work, right? So, and then we get into the nitty-gritty details of we have an on-prem deployment, we have configured hybrid, and we are now in a mixed mode. So, and you configure like 3000 range for your audio ports. Yeah, suddenly stuff changed. And you may not know that. So it's kind of important. So and then we see the video ports in here and the app sharing and file sharing. And then you can exactly see those are overlapping. which me personally, I don't really like that. But the way it is, we cannot change that because I cannot go into Office 365 and change it on a pool level. I would probably like to do that, but Microsoft is not going to allow me to do that. So, but this is all very interesting. But also this works for your on-premise deployment or if you're in hybrid or whatever. So you can always verify this. So this is not settings on a per user base because these are server configuration. So it's for your entire user base. So you cannot say like this organizational unit will use different configuration. No, it's for everyone. So keep in mind that a multi-tenant Skype for Business deployment, which is Office 365, is going to be universally the same, right? So that's kind of a challenge. So customization, not so much. Well, unless you can do strange things on your routers and maybe fork something. So inbound provisioning is essentially the name of getting these configurations from the server. Now, this is just an overview of what we actually saw. Like, I don't know if all of you know, like, default port ranges is not like 20 ports. Default port ranges go from 1024 to 56,535. So that's like yelling to your firewall administrators, like, you need to open up 64,000 ports.
Yeah.
Will you do that for me? What will they say? I love you. I will do that immediately. Probably not, right? So, but if you do not do anything special on your on-premise deployment, we will use 64K ports, right? So we want to change that. Then you have some options because if it's your servers, you can choose whatever you want, right? It's Office 365, this is going to be configured. So maybe we have to do the same configuration in Office 365 or on your premise, like Office 365, maybe makes it a bit more easy, but you don't have much choice, right? So the overlapping ports for application sharing and file sharing. Now there is a second very interesting message going back to the server, which I need for my session. So I'm skipping a lot of stuff here, right? I'm trying to do two sessions at Ignite this year, so hopefully that will work. But what's important here is we have MS-RTC Media Relay Authentication, or OUT. What does it mean? Anyone an idea? Which server? No. No, no. That's not true, but it has to do with media. Essentially, if you read it, Media Relay Authentication Service, where does that run? Edge server. What? Yeah, MRAS. And of course it says Edge, but I actually did customization on this service message myself. It's just an example, right? It's your client who is going to request the media relay service authentication credentials. Why do you need those credentials? Because Edge is secure by design, but somehow you need to authenticate to Edge, and these are credentials. So essentially you get them during logon. So if during logon you don't get the credentials, you get a error message on our client saying like limited external calling. Who has seen that before? It happens, right? Sometimes the server can be down or the firewall guys might have done something. Blame it on the firewall guys, right? So we have the media ports and then the credentials. So, but the credentials, there's actually more to it than just the username and password. We see some interesting stuff there. So this is a response from the Edge server. Now, maybe a trivia question. Am I sending this request directly to the Edge server or is someone else proxying that for me? So the front end will always connect to Edge for you. You are not directly connecting over SIP to Edge. So this is an example of a response. And if I can zoom in, you see credentials, right? So username, password, which is very readable. Don't need to worry too much about it. And there's a duration. So standard is 8 hours, also for an on-premise deployment. So in the early days, when I didn't really know all of this stuff, I actually changed the certificate on the Edge server, and suddenly your credentials are not valid anymore. So if you change the authentication service certificate, yeah, then you have to reboot the front end or something, because the clients also need to update these credentials. So, but what is also interesting is that we have a media relay list. So there is internet and there is intranet. Now you can clearly see this is online link.com. So this is all Office 365. So there's one of those things you're never going to use, right? Intranet will never ever be something you connect to, because you will always be remote. You always come from internet, even in a scenario where you use ExpressRoute. It's not directly connecting to the front-end servers. So you will always use internet, and it says media edge OE or 0E. So at this stage, we know where to connect to. We know where to connect what ports. You can actually customize this in your deployment if you want, right? If you have an Edge server with one IP, it is going to be, oh no, it's going to be different, because 403 will be used by XSH. So all of this information gets you where you need to be, like, okay, the client is going to connect to that server. It knows it. So, and of course, this is the error message which you get if MRS credentials are not available. Now, the client does not connect to Edge, the front end does it, and it uses TCP port 5062. Right, so now we have the SIP part covered. So now you all know how to look at this, right? So we can actually dive into the actual call, which is I'm dialing out to someone. It can be an audio call, video call, maybe a PSTN call, whatever. So all of these things are actually built up from SDP, Session Description Protocol, and you can read it. It's readable text, and you can actually figure out where are we going to send those media streams. So again, we have the same drawing as before. But now, if you look closely, I included some of the SDP in here. So we actually send the SDP, so the Session Description Protocol, how do we send the media? Initially in the initial invite. So when I send a message to this other user, I'm directly sending all my information with this message. So that means I need to know all the information up front before I can send it. So if there's something wrong with your connectivity to Edge, you will see delays. And we have seen strange delays in the past, and which actually broke PSTN calls. Now, this is probably very cryptic, because how does it look like? What is it? SDP. So description of the media. So this is an example of an offer. So in this stage, I have an invite, and I'm actually dialing a number. But this doesn't say anything, because this is just the SIP message. But the SDP is actually included in the SIP message. So in the body, we will see all of those details. So, and you will actually be able to decipher all of this in here. Now, maybe not this part, but there are more readable parts to it. So the important here is we have application or content type, which is application SDP. So it says it, Session Description Protocol. And we have, well, in this case, it's a special one, and it's for the Link 2013 client and lower. The Skype for Business client 2016 doesn't really have the same multi-part, because early days we were sending multiple kinds of what's the exact name again? ICE version. So we used to send an older ICE version, and it says essentially here as proxy 2007 fallback. Now this has been removed from Skype for Business 2016, causing some issues. Domain, you maybe know, have some seen some issues with. Yeah, so on what version of Exchange?
Exchange 2007.
Yes. Because of the changing the ICE version. Yeah. So be aware of that. Like, I know still a lot of customers who have Exchange 2007. If you want to have Skype for Business, then maybe you're running into issues. I have a duplicate slide probably, but this is the 2016 version. So it doesn't have all the other stuff in here. And it's more readable than before, trust me. That's something you can actually read. So, and I'll teach you how to do that. So, and then you see content type SDP, it's still there. So this is still the invite. Now we get the response from the other party. So we are calling our colleague, for example, we are sending our information. Of course, he has to send this information back to us, because otherwise I don't know where to send the media to. And again, we have an SDP message here, content type application SDP, and we have all of the information, which is at this stage probably kind of like, I don't know what it is, but that's fine. I will explain that to you. So essentially, what's also inside here is M is audio, M equals audio, which means the media we are going to set up is audio in this case. Now it also has encryption and codec priorities in here, but that's not so important for the media flows. We have the actual candidate list, which is very crucial information here, because all of the information in the candidates list is something you need to be aware of. If you're troubleshooting, everything you need to know is in here. Like, where is it going to try to send it to? And I say try because it doesn't always work. And then there's priority on what mechanism will work. So then we have the codecs all the way below. I'm not going to talk about codecs today because it's not too important for the media flow. Now, where this is, so the candidates, you really have to understand this. There are three types of candidates. So you saw a list before. It was kind of like a long list. It was like a lot of letters and figures and IP addresses. Doesn't make sense, but it will be more clearly if you see this. So there are three types. You always have to remember this. Three types of candidates. So the first one is a host candidate. So a host refers to a computer. So that's an endpoint. So that's my device, for example, my Surface is a host. So whatever IP address is configured on my host will be used. Now, it says endpoint IP, and a little bit lower, it says likely to fail. It depends, of course. If you're on the same network, without firewalls, it will most likely work. If it's not, it's going to be blocked, right? So then it says, okay. So number one, so if there is anything about internet and relaying over edge, it will never, well, relaying over edge will work, but direct communication between the host IPs, kind of tricky, but it depends. So the second one is stun reflexive. This kind of difficult name, but you have to look at it as reflexive from my side. So what's my public IP address? Now, we don't have to look at Edge right now, but for example, this user sitting over here at home is behind a firewall, a net router probably, and he has a host candidate, but his firewall has probably a public IP address. Otherwise, he could not connect to internet. So the reflexive, non-reflexive is going to be the public IP address on your home router. That's easy, right? So are we always going to have a reflexive address? Probably not, because if you're inside the LAN, then most likely not. So the second one may or may not work. I say, because they're both sides, like we have a sending stream, a receiving stream. Let's see, but I'll come back to that. So in the last one is actually turn relay, which means edge server. Now, if I go back to number two, it actually goes through edge because essentially it's coming from this client. Because this client is going to try to do, because that client doesn't know the public IP address of the router. So it's going to try to discover it and it uses edge to do that. So edge will say, this is your public IP address. Because the link client or the Sky for Business client doesn't connect to any website showing the public IP. So the third one will be relaying over edge. So this is kind of like the fallback scenario. If nothing works that we tried before, then this is most likely going to work. So this is almost always going to work unless some strange things are happening. As long as we can route, it's direct. We can do direct communication. But let's drill down into the what or more the details about that. So relaying over edge. Now some people think like edge is going to break up the connection and send a new connection on the other side. Like this is going to be broken up, and then we send a new stream to the internal side. Edge will never ever break up a session. It cannot look into a session. It doesn't know what it is. It's just relaying. So it's taking the traffic, and someone from Microsoft actually explained it very nice. So it's a turn server. So it takes a packet, it turns around, and then sends it away. So that's easy to remember. If you see turn, edge, and you turn and you send it. That's what edge does. So if you ask me what codex does edge use, it doesn't know anything about codex. It just takes it and sends it. You can do pretty fake stuff with it, probably. Yeah. Exactly. But remember, you have to be authenticated in order to send something to Edge. So you need the credentials anyway. So most likely, at least you need to simulate what a Skype for Business client does, like asking the MRAS credentials. If you can do that, you can use it for pretty much everything, I guess. Interesting file sharing application. Okay, so we go back to the SDP. So, and now you actually see there's even more candidates in this list. Because in this case, I added the IP version 6. So it gets even more complex. So all of these things are candidates. So I'm pretty sure at this stage it's still kind of difficult to read, but let me help you. So the first thing we have is the host candidates. And you can actually clearly see it. At the end of the candidate, it says type host. So I hope you remember that this was one of the candidates. So then we have a second one, and I don't know why it is, but it's not the right order. So I'll actually go to the next one. So I'll go to the stun reflexive. So in this case, it's not really at the end of the whatever we see in here, the SDP, the candidate, but it says type reflexive address. So, and it said for all of those candidates. So, reflexive address. So, Anyone remembers what address that actually is? Of what? Exactly. So you see, you're getting good at this, right? So then the last one is actually in the middle, which has type relay, the relay via edge, right? Yeah, of course, it's always going to be the public IP of edge. And if you look closely, let me try to draw on this. You see the port ranges in here. Well, of course, on the edge side as well. But you see multiple ports actually. But these are all port ranges. So we know this is an audio call because on the host we have 50,000 until 50,019. On the edge server, we actually also use 50,000 something up until. Exactly. So 10,000 ports for edge. So because if you see the configuration for audio, this 5033, it's not in the audio range, but for edge, it doesn't know, right? It's just media. It's any of the ports from 50,000 up to 59999, right? And then essentially in the reflexive, and also what you see is that it will always relay to other ports, actually, like for example, this one, not sure if I can. So if you see this one, it has the client ports in it. So you know that Edge is going to relay to the client on this port, for example. Now, maybe a trivia question, which is 84.192. Does it sound familiar for you? Because we live in Belgium. Exactly. So this is Telenet. So what does that actually mean? So the edge server, so this is the reflexive candidate. No, this is the relay candidate, but it will send it to our public IP because how can it send it to our private IP? So you see all of those things come bubble up in these SDP messages and you exactly see what IPs are going to be used and what ports actually.
This is the trace of somebody internal or not?
Well, most likely not because we have the reflexive addresses. So, and we have the public IP address from Telenet. Okay, so I think I have to speed up a little bit. Now, an interesting thing is like we saw the invite and the response where the SDP is exchanged. Now, interestingly, there is a delay from the initial invite to a re-invite. Now, this is somewhere between 5 and 10 seconds. I actually don't know the exact value and it might change. It might change by every call. Now, there's a reason why we do the re-invite because then we get the actual IP addresses that are going to be used. So here we are going to try a lot of stuff. Maybe some stuff works. And then we decide, okay, this is a more optimal path. And here we have decided what are we actually using at this stage and which is the optimized path. Now, and this is kind of, I'm going to skip over this, but this is the most important thing here. So this is what I'm going to send to the other party. So my candidates who are actually being used at this stage, the final candidates are these. So I can see this is going to 84.192, which is the public IP address from the router, to an internal IP address, 192.168, which you probably also know, on these ports, 50,000, 50,001, right? Not sure if this has to be the same as the host, but anyway, you can see these are the actual ports being used. So, and then there is also an interesting one because we add remote candidates to the list. So that means we are actually sending to that IP address. So you know everything without actually even starting any network tracing tool. Because it's in here, it's readable, right? Then the codecs, but not so important right now. So then we go into the media flow scenarios, or you have a question? Well, I explained that actually in a later slide. Because there are some situations where this doesn't work. Now, we are talking about inside only, which is not so common anymore, because most people actually deploy Edge and have the rich scenarios. But okay, we have to go to the internal scenario because that's the easiest way to start. We build up from there. So we have two endpoints, so A and B. Alice and Bob, like they say in real SIP. So probably have to, okay. So they are going to exchange the SIP, of course, via the server, but we're not interested in SIP right now, right? So the SDP has been done, like, and how is the media going to flow between these two endpoints? Yeah, so like this. Can you guarantee that to me? Why not? Is the consultant answer? Yeah, yeah. Because you don't own the network, right? Because if here there's something in between, which actually says like, okay, I don't allow peer-to-peer communication because I consider this a virus. I've been there. You're like, no, no, this is valid traffic, Skype for Business. No, no, it's, if it's peer-to-peer, I don't trust it. You cannot do it.
I have a bit of a new example because the routing was not good and you call to the other and the phone rings, you take up and you don't hear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it looks like it's going to work, but then it fails after 20 seconds something or 10 seconds. So what's the solution for this? It's easy, right? So you say the firewall guy say open 64K ports, then we're good. So he's going to say like, okay, you're fired. So then we say like, okay, if you don't agree with that, we can actually fix that for you, but you have to do at least something for us. So let's open up some ports so that we can actually send the media through, right? So in that case, it will work. And then having at least 20 ports media type, that's at least what you need. So 20. So this is only for audio, for example. So if you need additional ports for video, don't use the same ones, right? So use other ports. Which ones? Why 20 ports are needed. Actually, I think there's a session which I referenced at the end of the presentation, and Thomas Binder from Microsoft, which is Uber guru on ICE. You think I know a lot, but he knows a lot more. So he actually explains that you need at least 16 ports in order, well, because potentially you have so many combinations of ports that are needing, or you need to check. So the client needs to send traffic to maybe 16 different combinations. So that's the explanation I understood. So will it work if you only configure it for 10? Probably yes, but not in all situations. And make sure that you can have multiple sessions going on, right? So if you put a call on hold and then create another call, of course, you're using ports. And then potentially for screen sharing or file sharing, you can do also multiple ports. So, but this is just what we actually explained already. So the client ports, 64K ports, the server ports, essentially, we actually didn't talk about server yet, but we have the video port, the audio port, and then the app sharing port. So where's the file sharing port? Range. Range. Yeah, really? You think so? Have you ever seen file sharing in a conference? It's uploading a file to a conference. It's not actually sharing. It's just an upload. So there is no file sharing on the conferencing server. But of course, this is also not something that you want, because then application sharing actually overlaps video and audio. So again, if you look at traces, it's kind of difficult to really look and then know for sure, because your firewall people will say this port, and you're like, I remember this is video. Oh, or maybe files, application sharing. So what we usually do, of course, and this is also something that the networking guide from Sky for Business actually explains. So you should actually change the application sharing port on the servers, which is quite easy. Now, what do you do about the client ports? Are you actually bringing them in the same range? And then file sharing is something completely separate? Or are you actually doing all the client media ports below all the server ports? It's just what you want to do, of course. And then if we have to look at Office 365, yeah, maybe you have to do something different. Because I think I also have this, yeah. So the ports for Office 365, interestingly, collide with audio, which kind of is also not very interesting, because if you're prioritizing video on the DSCP marking 646, you're probably breaking your network, right? So, but still, just notice, there are things you can choose, but Office 365, there is no way you can choose. So now we come into a situation where we are going to add Edge server to the mix. So let me see, 15 minutes. Okay, really have to speed up. Now the stun turn ice process is a 5-step process. And most of the stuff we already saw, like MRS credentials, at sign in, we saw that in the SIP logs. Candidate discovery is when you set up the call. Candidate exchange, no, yeah. Candidate discovery, because we need to have the candidates before we send the SDP. So, and when we send the invite, this is step number 3, we exchange the candidates. So already a lot of stuff happens before we actually set up a call. Then the connectivity checks happen. So it's kind of like a broadcast. We try everything. We don't care about, will this ever work? No, we try it, because potentially it works. And then the last step is essentially the re-invite, where we see these are the candidates being used. And then direct is always prioritized over relay and UDP over TCP. Before the no, discovery is done when you press call. And then it needs to be completed before you send the actual invite. So, and there can be potentially delay. If you cannot reach Edge, it will be a timeout for 5 seconds something. Now, if we add an Edge to the mix, things will change dramatically. Well, actually, yes. Because what happens is, and I like to draw this like this. So this client is going to do the candidate checks, and it will discover an IP address on the Edge server, because it found one, because it could connect to Edge. It's like, this is going to be the candidate we're going to use. Now, this one is doing exactly the same thing, also getting an address candidate essentially on the Edge, the external side of Edge, not the internal side. You will never ever see an internal IP address in SDPs for Edge. So now this is going to work unless, again, we have a firewall. But then there is an interesting side effect of what Edge is doing, because we are actually going to bridge those two media streams together, and those clients will actually be able to talk to each other. Now, is this ideal? Most likely not, because where is your Edge located? Where are you sitting in the world? How far is that destination? So while it works, it's not something you want. And if you look at CQM, call quality dashboard, no, call quality management, you see all those reports and they check actually if we are internal and we're relaying over edge, it's going to be a flag. It's going to be bad because we don't want it. But it works, right? It will work. Now, what happens if we do this with mediation server, for example? So this is a mediation server. What does the mediation server do? How many candidates will the mediation server have? Depends, but he's always inside. He's not behind a home router, right? But he, of course, is just a client which sends out SDP. So he will do exactly the same thing. And then we will have those IP addresses or these candidates on the edge ready. So in case this user cannot send it directly, it will go over edge to the mediation server. Now, that means that edge needs to connect to edge. Mediation server needs to connect to edge. If it doesn't work, there will be a timeout. Now, in a rare situation where you have an incoming call, you forward or sim ring, no, you forward your number to your mobile number, for example. Then the edge or the mediation server will again, well, will do two times calls because it will try to connect to you. And then it says, okay, we actually have to forward it. Or you can do simmering, whatever. But it will try to connect to edge. And if that connection is not possible, then we get a delay. Then setting up the connection to PSTN takes more time, and then to a mobile network takes even more time. Then actually we will never we actually never send the call because the person calling would already have put down the phone because it took too long. So it actually happened. So mediation server and all the application servers will connect to edge at any call. So it's not just one call, because you can never ever know where's the client actually going to take pick up this call. Because you can have multiple points of presence. You don't know where this is going to end up. So a small explanation about net reversal, because this is kind of like important. When does it work and when does it not work for our reflexive addresses? So in this case, we have a full code net. So you have to remember this. And I kind of like to reference this as a manly router. It allows a lot. So we actually tried to discover the public IP. So we use Edge for that, of course. But essentially we are going to set up the call. And for example, we are going to do this. Now the net router will keep track of who is sending to whom. So we have the public IP of the firewall and the port. So if this one sends back a packet, it will be automatically directed to this client. If this user will send also to that port on that IP, it will send it to the client. So that's what we want, because then you can send from ever, wherever you are, and it doesn't remember who actually tried to send to whom, and do I need to block it when it comes back and someone tries to send it to me? So there are some different scenarios in NAT, where is address restricted NAT, which is more female. It doesn't allow so much. So then essentially we are keeping track of this IP address. So that means this user can send back and we will have media going. But then this user, if he tries to do that, that's not going to happen. So this is more restricted. The port restricted is even more restrictive because it keeps track of the port we use here, but you get the idea. So depends on the net device, which I cannot predict from. So I say it depends whether it's going to work, but it's like most home routers will probably allow this. Most firewalls, enterprise firewalls, will probably not allow this. Okay, this is going to be a challenge. But again, the scenario always builds up the same way. So at this stage, and I'm actually going to use the home router, because we have an internal client which has an IP address on Edge. We have an external client, which has a host address, an Edge address, because we also have that. And we have an address on the home router. So what address is going to be used in this case? And again, it depends, really. But most likely, well, direct communication between these two will most likely not work. So we will most likely relay over Edge and use this IP to connect to this user. Of course, we need to send the stream back and it will work this way. Now, this is very simplified, but I just want to get you knowing about what are the actual flows. Now, is this always going to be like this? Maybe. Depends on the net device, of course, what's going to be happening here. Now, this is an interesting scenario because we have one user here and one user here. They're both on the internet. They have both home routers. And most likely the connection will end up this way. So we don't need Edge. So this is very optimized. It's kind of like peer-to-peer direct communication. Well, not exactly, but it's kind of like direct. Now, a very annoying situation is where we add VPN to the mix, right? I don't really like VPN. I hope you don't like it in the Skype for Business scenario too. Now, what happens if you add a VPN to your machine? What physically happens? Well, physically in software, of course. You get a new adapter, which receives an IP address, right? So essentially what's going to happen, we have two host candidates, and this one, of course, just only has one. I'm skipping the rest, of course, because I need to speed up. But what's the priority? Host candidates, reflexive, relay. So we try the first one, which actually are private, but that will never work because we cannot send it anywhere. But essentially the VPN address can just connect fine and we're going to send it over VPN. So, and we might have other candidates in here, but they will never be used. Right, because the priority is to use the host address or candidate. So then you need to do something, and it's like you need to split tunnel and block the communication from your VPN. Right, and I really want to explain one last scenario. So I didn't really talk about everything I wanted to talk, so let's hope I can do Ignite, then you can watch the recording, or you can join me at Ignite. Well, I first have to be selected to talk, of course. Jamie, if you're listening, help me. So one thing is Cloud Connector. And I actually wanted to show you some trace logs that I can prove what's going on here. But essentially, this is Office 365, right? So, and the color actually represents a deployment. So all the clients you will see, those are in green, and also the servers here. That means all those clients log into Office 365. That's a deployment. Now, do you remember what Cloud Connector is? Essentially, what is it essentially? It's hybrid. It's hybrid. What does hybrid mean? This is a new deployment, right? It's Edge server. It doesn't have front end, but yeah, they do some funky stuff in order to get it right. But essentially, it's the same kind of like on-premise deployment, and you federate it with Office 365. It's essentially exactly the same. So what is going to happen in that scenario? If this user is going to call, what is going to happen? Of course, let me do this. So of course, you have to be aware that if a client logs on to a server, where do we get the configuration from? So it receives from this server. This client receives from this server. So we know what IP and port we have to connect to, and we know the internet-based FQDN, which is always going to be this one. But that's not what we want. We want this mediation server to take this call, right? Now it gets tricky, because if this client is going to call, we want the media to flow this way, right? But if you haven't configured this one the way Microsoft wants it, and this is going to be a hard talk with your firewall guys, because this will only work in the scenario where you have the 50,000 ports, well, the 10,000 ports, sorry, my writing. So if this is not enabled, entering your Edge server in Cloud Connector, the media will actually flow this way, which is not what you want, right? And of course, this internal client will connect directly because the SDPs will just change to the right IP address of the mediation server. But of course, I draw this in the DMZ, so it doesn't have any connection into the LAN except for what ports do we need to allow? Well, we need to allow the ports to the mediation server, which could be 8,000. Well, it depends, but usually it's 8,000, 49152, something. So it all depends a little bit on the ports which are open, yes or no. But I hope you get the understanding a little bit. And so I referenced the session from Thomas Binder. There's a link here. So if you're interested in more of this stuff, go watch it. It's very good. And then thanks to our sponsors, and see you during drinks.